Welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Good morning. Good morning. It's really sick when we're rejoicing at 12 above, isn't it? Oh, my goodness. 12 above, yeah! Whew. Would you stand with me again, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for the privilege that we have to gather in your name. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is walking among us, freeing us and setting us free, drawing us closer to you, speaking to our hearts, changing us by your word, by your presence. Continue to speak to us, Father, this morning, as you have already. And continue to allow your Holy Spirit just to work in us, Father, to accomplish your purposes. Thank you so much, God, for this place. Thank you for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will accomplish by your Spirit, by your grace, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Go ahead and be seated. One of the things that I try to do is I try to be a good student. I try to keep learning. I try to keep listening to the Word of God. What is the Word of God teaching me still? I try to listen to the culture, what's happening in our church culture and the community around us. And I try to listen to people and find out what's going on in the lives of people. So it's important for us to be good students and to always be listening to the conversations that are around us. And one of the things I've noticed is there's a lot of conversations going on today about the church. The church is something that's been around for a long time, and conversations about the church are nothing new. There's many times and seasons where cycles where people go through talking about the church. There's a lot of questions of being asked about why do we attend church, about by those who no longer attend or by those who still attend or come once in a while, or by those who don't go to church at all. And they have asked questions like, why do we have church? Why do we go to church? What is church? Do we need to go? If we need to go, does it really matter? And how much does it matter? My wife and I have been attending this church for 38 years. And in 38 years, I can tell you that we have a perspective. We've seen some stuff. And I want to share with you a little bit this morning about some of the things that we've seen, about some of the things we've experienced, and some of the things we've learned by being a part of a church for a long, long time. We've seen this church go through ebbs and flows. We've seen explosive growth and slow decline. We've seen good days. We've seen bad days. We've had good things happen and things that are really painful. And we've been around to see a lot of those things. We've also seen something else. We have seen literally hundreds and hundreds of people come, and we've seen literally hundreds and hundreds of people go, some for all kinds of reasons. It's amazing the reasons that bring people to church, and it's amazing the reasons that cause people to stop. We'll talk about that a little bit this morning. But I want to share with you just a little bit about our experience and some of the things we learned along the way. Because I think most of you will be in conversations with people about the church. What is this whole thing about church? Why do you go to church? Do I need to go to church? Why does it matter? We'll talk about that. But first of all, we want to establish what the church is. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus himself was speaking to Peter, his follower, and he said, "And I tell you that you are Peter," Matthew 16, 18. "And on this rock I will build my church." Real important words there. Who's building the church? Jesus. Will it happen? He will build his church. And whose church is it? His church. And it's a church. He said it. We don't have to defend it. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." So he's building something that's built to last. It's gone through lots of changes. It's gone through lots of criticism. It's gone through lots of ebbs and flows. But Jesus is still building his church today. Amen? Now, the word church just simply comes from a Greek word, ekklesia, and it means two things. It means a gather, or it means to come away and to gather from, or to gather from something and to gather to something. It's to assemble from the community, but for a purpose to go back into the community. We're not supposed to just become an isolated club, but we're not supposed to also build a monastery. We're called out from and back to the community we came from. So we are the called out ones. We're called out to assemble. We're called out for a purpose to go back and accomplish his purpose. If you want to turn with me, I'm going to read out of the chapter 2 of the book of Acts. Luke is writing about the occurrences that took place when the church, the early church, was actually first formed. There was a gathering of saints together, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And in chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had came, they were gathered together in one place. And suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They had gathered together. They had assembled together. The Holy Spirit came upon them and something took place. There was something that took place in that assembly that day. They had a whopping church service. But it didn't stop there. And then later on in verse 14, Peter, the same one that Jesus said, "And upon this rock I will build my church," that same Peter stood up in the city and he began to speak. Look in verse 14. He says, "Then Peter stood up with the 11. Because he did not have a microphone, he raised his voice." Yeah, that's in my paraphrase. But and it says, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Three important things there. They'd gathered together. The Spirit of God had fallen upon them. And then Peter gets up and starts raising his voice. And he starts preaching the Word of God. And he starts quoting out of the book of the prophet Joel. And he said, "In the last days, says the Lord," and he starts telling them about what the Spirit of God has spoken in the book of Joel. "I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." He's telling them what's happening right there in their midst. And then Peter goes on, and he preaches the gospel about who Jesus was and what happened to Jesus. And then he gets them right to the point of conversion, and he says, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. And this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." And he goes on and he preaches this amazing message. Then he tells them to repent and be baptized. And he said, "Is there anybody here this morning that would like to make a personal commitment to Jesus Christ?" And 3,000 people go, "Yeah, I will." 3,000 came to know Christ that day. So the church was born. That's what church is. Lots of different definitions of what church is. I like the definition that Pastor Mark Driscoll says. He said it's like this: the church that was birthed by a sermon by a man who was yelling was so that men could keep yelling and the church could keep doing what the church should be doing. That's a pretty good definition of the church. We assemble together so a man can yell at you what the church should be doing. And then we go out and we do it. Over a little further in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer." After the church was birthed by the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God descended upon the believers who were gathered, they continued to do what they had done. Once they saw what was happening, the Spirit of God came, the word was preached, People gathered together. Lives were changed and impacted. They said, let's keep doing this. Let's keep gathering. Let's keep preaching. Let's keep letting the Spirit of God work among us. And let's keep seeing people's lives change and transform. And it says they continued in this daily. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's what the church is. I want to be a part of that kind of church. They continued to grow because of the preaching of the word and the ministry of the Spirit and loving each other as the body of believers. Well, the church is not just an organization. The church is not just a building. The church is actually a family. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul writes to the church in Galatia, and he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. You guys all belong to the family of believers. And Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and he said, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. The scripture makes reference that every believer is related to God as a father. We are his children. That makes us brothers and sisters. We are family. We are family. Come on. Don't make me sing it, please. But we're not just a gathering. We're not just an organization. We're not just a denomination. We're not just a fellowship. We're more than that. We are more than that. We are family. And family matters to God. And it should matter to us. The fact that we are part of a family is amazing. There's lots of gatherings that take place today. Gathering protesting Wall Street, and gathering in the squares in other countries protesting tyrants and evil governments, and gatherings for all kinds of purposes. But the kind of gathering that God is concerned about is a gathering where his word is preached, a gathering where his Spirit is poured out on his people, and a gathering where the people of God love each other like the people of God are family. That's the kind of gathering God is looking for. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 5, it says something that just always catches me. It just affects me in a very serious way. It says, Romans 12 verse 5, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Each member belongs to all the others. That means that in some significant way, I belong to you, and you belong to me. We are not just free to do whatever we want against one another because we belong to one another. We are part of a body. We are part of a family. We not only belong to each other, but in Romans 14, verse 8, Paul takes it a step further. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So we belong to God as his children. That makes us brothers and sisters. We belong to each other. To belong to someone means that you're attached or bound to them. My hand is bound to me. I never want it to be unbound. I always want it to remain closely connected to me in every sense of the word. It's a part of me. It's attached to me. So being a Christian is more than just attending services. It means that in a very real way, we are bound to something and someone bigger than ourselves. We are not our own. We are bought with a price, and therefore, we belong to each other. It's an amazing concept when we can really get when the Holy Spirit can really help us understand how significant that is. We belong to each other. You are part of my family. I am part of your family. You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. When you were born into this family, you just say, I want that one and that one and that one and that one and that one, but not that one and that one. We can't choose. We're all part of the same family. What a diverse family. Wow. But we can't choose who our family members are. God chooses who our family members are. He sets us down in the middle of a family. We can choose to attend church or not, but that doesn't mean you can choose to become family or not. Just because you don't go to church doesn't mean you're not part of a family. You're still part of a family. If you leave home, you don't stop being family, right? You grow up, you become an adult, you leave home. Oh, you're no longer my family. You're dead to me. It's not. No. You're still family for the rest of your lives. You might live in separate places, but you're still connected. You still have that bond of belonging to one another. When you belong to someone, to me, I think what the scripture is teaching us is that when you belong to someone, that's what they call a game changer. All of a sudden, things are different now. I belong to you, that means I can't just do what I want. You belong to me, sorry, there's some limitations. You can't just do whatever you want because we belong to each other. Belonging to each other should affect how we live. It should impact how we love. It should impact how we get together. Belonging to each other, being attached to each other, being bound to each other reduces some of my choices. Are you going to leave? I can't. I'm bound. You know, think about how we are in families. Are we going to leave just for... I'm getting ahead of myself. Slow down. Pace yourself. Okay. But this is amazing. If church is so amazing that God's word is preached, the Holy Spirit falls, people's lives are transformed. If church is so amazing, why do so many people choose not to come? That puzzles me. In 38 years, I've never really quite figured it out. I've learned a few things, but there's a few things that I haven't figured out. One of the things that I've experienced, or one of the things I've seen, is that when some people come to church, they have what's referred to as a negative guest experience. How was church? I had a negative guest experience. Oh. How does a person decide which church to go to? That looks like a nice church. Yeah, that looks nice. Let's go there. Oh, this is a nice guest experience. Oh, that's not a good guest experience. I'm not coming back anymore. How do we figure this out? What is it that determines whether we have a good guest experience or not? There are some churches that have whole committees that study the guest experience because they want to make sure that everybody has a good guest experience. Well, we're concerned about that too, but it's amazing to me what comes up when people talk about their guest experience. They go to church as though they're going to a movie. How's the movie? Yeah, it's all right. How's the restaurant? Yeah. Broccoli's a little chewy, but it's all right. How's church? Yeah, it's all right. It's not like just going someplace for a consumer product. We're coming someplace for a purpose. We're called out to gather, and then we're called to go back out again. There's something more than just shopping, eating popcorn, or watching a movie. Going to someplace because it looks nice. Having a good guest experience. Oh, brothers and sisters, some of the reasons why people come to church or don't come to church. Some of the things people have noticed when they come in for their first guest experience. They begin to notice things. They notice how people dress, how people interact, how they behave, how nobody in this church seems to have any problems. Everybody seems happy. Everybody's well-dressed. Everybody's smiling. The really happy people are the ones they don't know very well. Right? When you come in, did the message stir you? Did it feed you? Or was it just another message? Did it confuse you? Did it make you angry? Did it make you convicted? Did you walk out feeling, I'm really not sure I understand what that was all about? Maybe you felt really welcome when you came in. Maybe you felt invisible. Maybe you thought people were looking right past you. Maybe the music was too loud or not loud enough. Maybe your child's experience in children's ministry was good or bad. You know what? I read in the scriptures where when Jesus attended church, he didn't always like everything he saw. I thought that was amazing. He wasn't always completely 100% having a satisfactory guest experience. He went into church one time and turned over tables. How's that for a guest experience? Would you please not come back to our church? I came to church one time, and I had this person approach me. And they said, I just wanted to tell you something. I've hated you for a long time. And I thought they were joking, and then I realized they were serious. And I said, oh. And they said, but I don't hate you anymore. Oh, that's precious. What do you say? Good? Thanks? I never did like you? I mean, how was church today? Well, somebody came up and said they hated me. How was your church? A little different. They said they loved me. I hated you, but I don't hate you anymore. Well, good. Praise God. You could have kept that to yourself. Why tell someone? You're doing really good. Now I got something to share with you. But why do some people, if church is so amazing, why do some people choose not to go? I studied out some of the things that happened in the life of Jesus. And in Matthew's gospel, he talks about when Jesus went to his hometown to minister. And he healed a few sick folk. And he ministered a little bit. And he shared the word a little bit. But it says, in Matthew chapter 13, it says, they took offense at him. Jesus offended people. But he didn't offend them because he did anything wrong. He offended them because he did something right. He offended them because he healed some people. How can that offend you? People can get offended when your church is doing good things. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, they got healings over there. Let's rejoice. Let's not get offended. They were offended because he was preaching the word. It blows me away. They got offended over Jesus. And if they will get offended at Jesus, chances are they'll probably get offended at us once in a while. I'm just saying. In John chapter 6, some of the message that Jesus was preaching was really hard to comprehend because he was speaking in type and symbol, and it was heavy for them, and they were trying to understand what he said, and they didn't get it. And at some point they said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Some people don't come back to church because the teaching is hard. It's hard to die to yourself and to live your life for someone else. It's hard to go back and repent and confess your sins. It's hard to walk a sanctified life sometimes. The message that Jesus has is sometimes hard for us. And sometimes people don't like a hard message. I want to go where the message is easier. This is hard. And John 6, verse 66, from this time, many of his disciples turned their back and no longer followed him. Yeah, message is too hard. I'm not going back there. Too much responsibility. Then Jesus said to his 12, he said, are you going to go too? And they said, where else are we going to go? You have the words of life. Jesus said, if you're offended, don't leave. Go back and be reconciled. Work it out. If you're a family and you get offended with something in the family, you say, I'm out of here. You can't. You're 12. I'm offended. You burned dinner. I'm leaving. What? I mean, we get offended over the most amazing things in church, but we would never do that in a family. The kids' music. I don't like their taste in music. I'm leaving. You're leaving because you don't like the taste of your kids' music? Just love the kids and just put earplugs in. Karen and I have endured many, many painful situations in the last 38 years. Some of them we've caused. Some of them have been from some of our wonderful saints in the Lord. And every time you get hurt, every time you're tempted to become offended, every time you're tempted to become isolated and withdraw, there's a question you have to ask yourself. Are you going to leave too? No. God set me here. This is my family. I belong here. I can't just leave. I don't have an option. I belong to them. They belong to me. I got to stay here and work it through. I can't just leave. We belong to each other. What would that mean if I just left? You overcooked the meatloaf. I'm out of here. Why do some choose not to go to church? Sometimes, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Sometimes people say, I'm just burned out. I'm burned out from ministry assignments. They become weary in doing well. We can become burned out from attempting to minister in our own strength. We can become burned out because we've tried to take on too much, because we don't know how to pace ourselves, or we don't know how to trust God's grace to give us the strength that we need to fulfill what we've been called to do. I've been on staff for a long time, and I've carried lots and lots of ministry assignments. And there was a point in my life in 2003 where I was just exhausted. At that time, I had been 17 years in the ministry, and had carried lots of responsibility, had lots of family crisis and situations, and I was just spent. There was just, I just didn't, when I come to church, I wanted to just disappear. I wanted to just have a cup that I could disappear into when somebody would look at me. Oh. Always carry a cup when you're in the crowd because you can disappear. If you. But I took a sabbatical at that time because I needed a break, because I was just worn out and exhausted. I had become weary in doing good, and I didn't want to be around God's wonderful people. I didn't want to be in church. I didn't want the responsibility. I didn't want someone to look at me because they were going to make an appointment with me. I didn't want to hear any more sad stories. I was full. My bucket needed to be emptied. So I took a break. My wife and I took a sabbatical for about 4 months. And about 3 months into it, all of a sudden I started thinking about the family of God. And I started missing the people of God. And I started missing the Word of God and the worship with the assembly. And I started missing being a part of what was happening here. And at the end of that 4th month, we came back refreshed and rejuvenated. And we've been just excited about the Word of God being preached and the Spirit of God falling on people and lives being transformed and people learning how to live and love together like Jesus did. But we have to learn how to take care of ourselves. Some choose not to go to church because they don't agree with everything that happens in church. In any church, as in families, there comes a time where members, those who are following, must decide, do I agree with where we're going, how we're going to get there? Do I fundamentally disagree with where we're going, how we're going to get there? The second part of this is simply a question of support. In any church, as in any family, there's going to be times over the course of years where those who are members, those who are followers, ask these hard questions. Can I be fully supportive if I don't fully agree? It's not easy to be in agreement with those who are leading to have, or it is easy to not be in agreement with those who are leading to have opposing ideas and opinions. Anybody ever notice that you have different opinions than those that are being presented? Different ideas, different philosophies, different understandings. Does that surprise you? Think about your family. Do you and your spouse agree on everything? Do you and your children agree on everything? Is there 100% unanimous agreement through every member of the family on every single subject? Probably not. Is that close? Yeah. So is that true in a church? Absolutely. We're a family. We don't have to agree 100% on 100% of everything all the time. We have to agree on the main things, sure. But on all the peripheral things, we don't have to have 100% agreement to still be supportive. I don't always agree with every choice that my children make, but that doesn't mean I'm not fully supportive of everything that they do. We have to learn how to check ourselves and say, even though I don't fully agree, I'm still going to show support. The real challenge of love and commitment and relationships and persevering and working together is not always being in total agreement, but always remaining supportive. This is true in families, relationships, organizations. It's important to maintain unity and to walk in humility and say, I don't fully agree with everything, but I am totally supporting that leadership. I'm totally supporting that family. Why some people choose not to go to church? I hear people say it's not relevant. Anybody ever heard that? Once or twice? As in any family, as in any church, there's a variety of ages and needs that need to be addressed. And not everything is always relevant to everybody at the same level all the time. That's how families are. How come you're feeding the baby? Why don't you get up and feed me? Because I'm feeding the baby. The baby needs me right now. You can go fix a sandwich. You're going to be okay. You're 19. As in every family, needs change over the years. And being relevant changes over the years. When I first came to ALCC, it was not relevant to me. I was a guy who came out of a dope-smoking hippie background with long hair and listened to rock and roll music. And I came here and the pastor was an ex-banker with a white shirt and a skinny black tie playing an accordion. Hello? Oh, this is totally relevant. I dig that accordion. Like the short hair, too, and the skinny tie. That really relates to me. I love you, Dick Benjamin. He's that man. I came to this church, and I heard sermons by a man who was yelling that men and women would keep doing what the church should be doing. And he had a skinny black tie and an accordion. And my wife and I attended, and we listened, and we allowed the Lord to impact our hearts. The music was corny. The people dressed weird. There was people who had these big, tall, beehive hairdos. They looked like Mrs. Simpson, you know what I mean? It was crazy, crazy different from our environment. Not relevant at all. I wore these big, huge Levi bell bottoms, and I had blue suede shoes with platform heels and long hair parted in the middle and listened to rock and roll music. And these people were so different from us. They're not relevant. No, I wasn't relevant. But through the preaching of the word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the people of God, it has forever changed us. It has made us to be different people than we used to be. We have found a family, one who cared for us and one who stayed with us. Why do we go to this church, and does it really matter? Why, after all these years, 38 years of life in this place, 38 years of change and transition from Dick Benjamin to Rick Benjamin to Josh Tanner, all the different transitions in leadership and elders and people coming and going, why is it we're still here? Are we just stubborn? Are we just stuck? No. We've found what is important is not always that we have a real warm, positive guest experience. I hated you for years. That's okay. I'm still coming back. If you have a negative guest experience, come back again. It might be better next time. Someone might say, I've loved you for years. Great. Keep loving me. We have found that no matter where you go, you will likely find people that will cause you trouble. And you will likely find yourself causing you trouble in a new environment, because when you go someplace, you take yourself with you. And all your problems and all your perspectives and all your opinions and all your philosophies aren't always welcome everywhere. So when you have problems and you have troubles in one place, don't think you're going to not have problems or troubles. You'll just have different kinds. People are people. You're not going to find 100% of people agree with me totally. That's going to be like heaven. But on this side of heaven, it's going to be church. Wherever you go, you take yourself with you, and you'll find something somewhere to be offended at. I guarantee you, it's not hard to be offended. You can be offended over the smallest things or the biggest things. You have to learn how to forgive and effectively deal with your offenses. We have learned that if anyone is going to finish well in life and ministry, it's going to be a result of wise choices that you make and pacing yourself and taking time to be refreshed in the presence of God and take care of yourself emotionally. Take care of your family emotionally. We know that we will not always fully agree with every decision that is made, but we belong to this family and we have no choice but to communicate, to speak up, and to be supportive. We are supportive of this place and the leadership in this place. And we have been all these years, and we will continue to be. Another thing is, if you go to church long enough, you'll be relevant and not relevant over and over again. If you have a skinny tie, hang on to it. They're coming back. If you have your grandpa's fedora, they're back. Okay. Why do we go to this church, and why does it matter? God said it is not good for man to be alone. He was talking about marriage, but does it go for the rest of us? It's not good for man or woman or boy or girl to be alone. Long periods of alone time are not good for us. As a sheep, if you put a sheep out there all by himself, that's not good for him. He's got no defense. He's got these little paws. He's got no sharp teeth. He doesn't have any sense. He's all there out there by himself. He's dangerous. He's going to get himself in trouble. He's going to get stuck. He's going to get eaten by a wolf or something. He needs a people to flock around him. He needs a shepherd to lead him. It's not good for you to be alone. It's scary out there. You need people around you to watch your back and to protect you. It was never God's intention for us to live alone or isolated from others. Colossians 3 says, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That's what happens when we come together. You can't do that on Facebook. If somebody offends you on Facebook, you hit a little button that says, hide. I don't have to look at you anymore. If they offend you again, unfriend them. You're gone. Life is not Facebook. Life is a community of people face to face. Now, I have Facebook. I have 385 friends. Okay? But I could hide any one of you at any time. I mean, Facebook is great. I've had people connect with me from 40 years back. Amazing. Facebook is great. But Facebook is not real life, folks. It's not, I got 675 connections. Oh, yeah, when's the last time you sat across from somebody and cried with them? Well, I don't do that. I just, LOL. It's amazing. We've become a society that uses our telephones for typewriters. Ping. Ping. We need to sit across from each other once in a while and just say, tell me what's happening with your son. How's it going with your medical checkups? How's it going with that newborn? How are you doing in your engagement? How are you doing at work? You can't do that on Facebook. You got to do that in community with people. And you can't forgive somebody on Facebook. You got to listen. Jesus said, go to them. He didn't say, click on them. Click on them and say, sorry. Smiley emoticon. Our responsibility to the family of believers is to demonstrate the grace of God towards others. We have the privilege of being the hands of our Lord extended to the people around us. How can you hug somebody with a laptop? How can you cry with somebody in a text message? How can you live life outside of community, outside of real life relationships? God has called us out to gather and to demonstrate to each other what it means to be the family of God. Justin and Anna's testimony this morning was just that way. They were saying how they had been called out and called in and spoken to and ministered to and loved on and intersected with and impacted, and their lives were affected by the body of Christ. Why do we gather to church? Doesn't really matter. When we do spend any amounts of time with each other, it doesn't take long before our own sin nature is exposed. We get competitive and petty, and we act selfishly towards others in the family of God. The Lord brings these things to our attention not to condemn us, but to bring conviction and provide the grace that we need to be transformed by His Spirit. Then we can be set free and redeemed and called out to be all that God has created us to be. As members of the family of believers, we have the opportunity to grow together and learn to function properly with our unique gifts, talents, and callings. Along the way, we gain strength for our own journey, and we may even find that gathering of Christians in this adventure we are following Jesus is actually fun and contagious. That was from Margaret Feinberg in an article, Church, Why Go? Our love and our unity may be so impactful that we might actually impact the belief system of another person. Jesus said they might see your unity and be so impacted that they come to know me personally. Our community and our relationship with each other has that kind of power. It's not always easy to be in church because the church is by nature flawed because we're all here. Right? When you guys are gone, the church is a pretty good place. But it's the place where we can encounter God in unexpected ways. Through the worship, through the interaction of other people, through the preaching of the word. One of the things that sitting and just listening to the word of God can do is it teaches us how to just not try to do anything, but just to receive from God. That's what grace is. God gives us something. We don't have to earn it or deserve it. We just receive it. Not only can you experience acceptance, forgiveness, and grace, and love and compassion with fellow believers, But you have the opportunity to extend to them and others even after they step on your toes. We learn to work through the ups and the downs, the disagreements and the tensions, innovations and failures. And as we pursue God in the mixture of triumphs and tragedies, we learn to love more deeply and become a little bit more like Jesus. We're not alone in this Christian journey, but we need to be in church. We can't be all we were created to be all by ourselves. We need the body of Christ. Would you all stand with me, please? Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this journey of faith. Thank you for what it means to be a follower of Christ. Thank you for what it means to be a part of a local church, to be a part of a family of believers. Thank you, God, that it's something that you're still building. And you said that the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Right. Father, you are building your church, and the church is still on your heart and it's on your mind. And Father, the church has taken a lot of flack in the last days, but we pray that you'd help us to be a good example in this church. Help us to be a kind of church like the church in the book of Acts that preaches the word of God, and the Spirit of God falls upon people's lives and transforms them, and the people of God love and serve others and go out and preach the gospel and share their lives with others and bring them to church as well so that they can grow and be a part of the family of God as well. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for so many here that do live this message. Thank you for those that have gone before us, that have lived this message before us, that have impacted our lives and brought us to where we're at today. And help us to be those kind of people that continually to reach out to those that are around us so that we can be the family of God. Father, bless your people today. Thank you so much for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.